Hello, everybody. This is a Pacifica National Board meeting, a special teleconference for the purpose of addressing committee items that we didn't have the opportunity to address at our in-person meeting in Walnut Creek, and we have one or two other agenda items as well. This is Dave Adelson speaking. Teresa Allen's our secretary. Teresa, can you call the roll, please?
Yes, David Adelson?
Here.
Teresa Allen is here. Mary Byrd?
Here.
Evelyn Bethune?
Present.
Thank you. Lydia Brazon?
Here.
A.C. Byrd? A.C. Byrd? A.C. Byrd, I can't hear you. Lisa Davis?
Here.
Patty Heffley?
Here.
Bill Jackson? Bill Jackson, I can't hear you. Ray LaForest? I can't hear you. Ambrose Lane?
Here.
Thank you. Bob Lederer?
Here.
Thank you. Alan Minsky?
Here.
Thank you. Rosalinda Montes Palacios? I can't hear you, Rosalinda. I'll come back. Sar Rondawa?
Here.
Thank you. Rip Robbins?
Present.
Thank you. Rob Robinson?
Here.
Deb Shafto?
Here.
Thank you. Zarina Shakir? Zarina Shakir? I can't hear you. Don White?
Zarina won't be making it because of Ramadan.
Thank you. Don White?
He sent an email saying that he...
Yes, I know he might be late. LeVar Williams?
Trouble with airplanes.
Present.
Thank you. Nathan Moore?
Here.
Thank you, Nathan. I'm glad you're here.
Sure.
A.C. Byrd?
Here.
Thank you, A.C. Was that A.C.?
Yes.
Okay, that didn't sound like A.C. Okay, Phil Jackson?
Here.
Thank you.
Is that A.C.?
Ray LaForest?
I'm sorry, this is LeVar. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Pardon.
Ray LaForest? And Rosalinda Montes Palacios? Well, I know she was here before, but I do not hear her now. Greg Guma?
No. Why are you here?
Greg Guma's here. Is Lonnie Hicks here?
Here.
Thank you, Lonnie. And I believe we also have Les Radke, the National Election Supervisor?
That's correct.
Thank you very much. We have quorum, Mr. Chair.
Teresa, this is Ray. I'm on.
Thank you, Ray.
And Rosalinda, can you hear us yet? Okay.
She called. She said she would be right on there. She got lost. The number.
We heard her dial in.
Yeah,
but
she's
I guess
here.
She dropped. Okay. The proposed agenda sent around today was a roll call and approval of agenda 10 minutes, an ED report for 15, the programming committee report and consideration of the programming policy for 1 hour, governance committee resolution concerning absences. 15 minutes, an update on the progress of elections and compliance with the National Election Supervisor Directives, 30 minutes, and a Byrd motion regarding consultation and communication of PNB directors requesting inspections for 15 minutes. Is there a motion to adopt this agenda and then we can have modifications and whatnot?
So moved.
Okay. Mary Byrd, I want to make a change.
Who moved it?
Ambrose.
Thank you, Ambrose. Is there a second?
I second.
We don't need...
Sarve seconded it. Okay, it's open for discussion. Mary, you asked to be recognized?
Yes, I would like to take item 5, which is update on progress of elections and compliance with the National Election Supervisor Directives, which is now a 30-minute item, to do two things. Move it up right after this section here, right after the approval of the agenda, and have it be 20 minutes, make that an order of the day so that if we don't finish, or whatever we have to do, so that at the end of 20 minutes, if the report and the resolution to be presented are not completed, it goes back to its original place, to the end of the meeting, to be finished.
Okay, and are you proposing that the ED report remain where it is, or are you proposing...
No, the ED report, well, I'm sorry, I meant to say the ED report would be at the...
Number end. 5.
It would be the item 5.
Is there a second to that proposed amendment?
Yeah, I'll second.
Is there a second? Okay, it's been seconded. Is there any discussion on it? Okay, hearing no discussion, may we adopt that change?
Mr. Chair, I just want to clarify. Mary Byrd moved that item 5 be made number 2 and limited to 20 minutes, after 20 minutes...
She's moving that item 2 and 5 be exchanged with each other,
yes.
and that the update on the progress of the election be made 20 minutes as an order of the day, completion of the item at the end of the meeting if it requires additional time for completion.
Okay.
At
the end
okay.
of the meeting.
At
I mean,
the end
after,
of the meeting.
Yeah, at the end of everything else.
After number five.
Point of information.
All right, thank
LaVon.
You, Mr. Chair.
Yes, LaVon?
I just want to be certain that at the end of the 20 minutes that we have a motion that the election committee will bring forward, that we actually reserve time so we can vote on the motion.
Okay, so the effect of this amendment would be that if we don't complete it by the 20 minutes, that then we'll complete it at the end of the meeting. It calls for us to move to the programming committee report immediately after 20 minutes and resume that item later in the meeting if we haven't completed it. Do you want to make an alternative?
Yes, I would. I would like to move that the election committee has a motion that they would like to bring forward and that it would like to have the vote taken on this motion at the end of the 20 minutes.
In the 20 minutes.
Within the 20 minutes, and that we accomplish that within the 20 minutes. Start stuttering.
Well, I think the way that would be handled is if the motion is before us, and
let's see how we do that.
If the motion is before us, we'll move it to a vote unless somebody moves postponement until a session later in the evening. And then that would require a vote of the board to postpone.
Thank you. Well, I'll just ask the National Election Supervisor to consider that in his presentation. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Anything further?
Mr. Chair, this is the Secretary. I just wanted to confirm that the completion of the item would be after item number five, not at the end of the meeting. And I do have another point of information or question.
Mm-hmm.
Has item six been removed, or is item six going to be removed?
If a motion to that effect comes, it will be.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Anything further?
Lisa.
Yes, Lisa?
Oh, I got bumped off. That's all.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
Did this hour?
Yes, go ahead.
I would like to move that we adjourn the meeting at 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time consideration of the people that are on the East Coast. They go through all kind of problems here. That's what I'd like to see happen. I know it might not happen, but...
The approval of the... If we approve the agenda with the times we have, it takes us past 11, so you'd need to move what you're going to cut.
So it'd be a bird motion that be deferred, so that would cut us 15 minutes there. So it'll be 2 hours and 30 minutes. So we start at 5:30. It'll be 11. So we could say 11:15 at the latest.
Okay. So is there a second to the motion to defer the bird motion to our next meeting and have a termination of the meeting at 11:15 as
second.
An order of the day?
Second.
Is there any objection to that?
I object.
Okay. Well. What would you go ahead? You can speak to it.
I think that we have election situation. It's critical. We need to deal with it. We have a motion which will resolve some problems. And I'm not suggesting that we end the meeting at 11. I think we ought to wait and see if we can get through this election business. And you know, come 11 o'clock. Go from there, but this is too important.
The motion is, just to clarify, 11:15, not 11. Terminated.
But the motion also includes deferring Mary Berg's motion.
No, B-Y-R-D.
Berg.
Oh.
The item six on your agenda.
A.C. Bird, not Mary Berg.
Okay.
Though I'm flattered to be considered.
Yes.
Even remotely
Lisa?
As a substitute for AC, but...
I would just like to know if AC would like to comment about the possibility of his motion being deferred? Or?
Yes.
AC seconded.
It's fine.
Oh, you seconded it. Okay. Then I have no objection. Okay.
Point of information?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, is this motion necessary if AC Bird decides to remove his motion?
The proposed agenda was the proposed agenda, and that's what we're discussing. If no, I'll ask if there's no objection, and if there's no objection, we'll do that.
I'm sorry, I'm still not understanding, Mr. Chair. Is deferring the same thing as removing a motion?
No. Deferring means it goes to our next meeting. Removing it would take it off the agenda.
So point of information is AC, I guess since Lisa Davis asked AC Bird to weigh in on it, my question is, would AC Bird rather remove it than defer it to the next meeting?
I would rather defer it to the next meeting for now.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Okay, folks, time's a-wasting.
Okay.
May we move forward? Mm-hmm. Is there any objection to the motion by Randhawa to defer item 6 and to have an order of the day to complete the meeting at 11:15? Hearing no objection, that's adopted. Is any further amendments to the agenda? Hearing none, then is there any objection to adopting the agenda as amended? Hearing none, then we'll proceed. Okay, so the first thing then, we have 20 minutes now for an update on the progress of elections in compliance with NES directives. Is Deb Shafto on the line?
Yes, I am, and I will keep time.
Okay, can you let me know at 5 minutes before, and at the 5 minutes before this item, we can move
okay.
to process the whatever's on the floor. Go ahead. I don't know whether Greg or Les is going to start with this, but whoever would like to may.
I'd like to keep it short. I'd like to remind folks that recommendations from the PNB, recommendations from the National Election Committee, I'll consider. But it's not a question of keeping compliance. It's a question of I'll listen to the recommendations. I just want to repeat that there's separation between this election procedure and governance. All of the candidate statements and the ballots have been out. Many of you, I hope, have received them. But when you start putting 85,000 pieces of mail in there, I realize that they filter out not all at once. I know I got my ballot at KPFA already. The proofs for WPFW, because I delayed the election 2 weeks, those proofs are in the printing house, and everything will be ready to go by the end of next week. They'll be actually mailed Monday after next. Today I was testing the software. We have hired a company to do software for this whole process so that it's automated, and I was testing it today. Most of the software seems to work, and it's written. There's a couple little bugs that'll be taken care of next week, and I'll be sending it out, particularly to the Electoral Working Group in Los Angeles to have some tests, and anybody else who wants to test this out. Obviously, one needs a scanner, but I can explain that in emails now that I have actually run the software. So we have the mechanical parts of it in order. There's a lot of, as you probably know, unfair campaign practices, some of which I have not yet taken care of, and if people want to ask questions about it, they can. Finally, I want to be very quick about the mailing list. I've been...
Les, before you do that, you said there are unfair practices. Did you mean to say that there are complaints, or do you mean
complaints.
To say that there are?
There are complaints. Some of these have been ruled on by the local election supervisors, have appealed to me, and some of them I've dealt with, and some of them I'm dealing with this weekend because I've been really snowed under with some of the other technical stuff.
Thank you.
Anything from now on I will send out to the PNB list in terms of these rulings that I make. On the mailing list, Greg and I actually started on this last April. The mailing lists are still not in great shape, and that's both in terms of the staff and there are some problems with the listener mailing list. I've told other people, and I'll make sure everyone understands, at KPFA, it was a fairly labor-intensive job to eliminate duplicates, and we actually cut the mailing list from about 28,500 to 26,000 just removing duplicates, and that was done by actually calling up a couple thousand people, which is what it would require if we're going to do this. So in that regard, with all these motions, folks can pass the motions, but if, in fact, I can do something, given that everything has been sent out, I will look at it, I will consider it, but I'm certainly not promising it. And it's not at the top of my list, A, because it's not in the job description of the national election supervisor or the local election supervisor, and B, I realize that this is a labor-intensive thing that would take several weeks if we just concentrated on this. But I'm not sure what I will do with that. I will consider what you want. I certainly have wanted these mailing lists to be in much, much better order, and we've talked about this for 3 years, but it seems to me that's a management function. And with that, there's people who want to ask questions about where we're at. I'm open to it, but I'm not open to being told that here's a directive and I have to comply with it, because that's not how these elections were set up. What I will do is certainly consider collaboratively what can be done, and I have been considering what can be done with mailing lists. I certainly don't want people getting 2-3 ballots. I think we've cut down on that, but I still think there are some very, very severe problems.
Les, I want to clarify that this agenda item that said compliance was referred to the compliance that you are having from the stations. Where the board passed a motion calling for that compliance and some mechanisms for its enforcement. So I didn't hear anything on that point in your report.
It's difficult. If you look on the webpage for WPFW, we're still struggling with that. We're actually trying to set that webpage up from KPFA. This may not be exactly what you're asking, but I'm saying that there are so many problems with compliance that I felt that at all the stations there's been a passive boycott. It's not important. There are other things that are much more important. And I do want to point out what happened at WPFW. For 2 months, after 2 months of having some carts and having some work done, there was exactly one listener candidate, one, on September 25th that had all their papers in, just one. I extended the election for 2 weeks, and after a week of working with Ron Pinchback and having announcements and actually having the station take part actively in this, we ended up with 18 candidates. So it's not the listeners or the community. It's the way the station looks at this in terms of outreach and in terms of trying to involve people. And I haven't gotten a lot of that from any station. It's varied. It's been a real struggle. It's, as they say, pulling teeth and doing root canals,
yeah.
Trying to get the carts played, trying to find records of the carts, because often, the records are not very good. Trying to fit forms in, trying to fit things in, given all the other things that are happening. If you want to ask specific questions, please do.
No, okay. I mean, I can't. But so it's now the report. Well, actually, Greg, do you have anything to add?
Not really. I think that this is for Les to deal with.
Okay. It's now open for discussion.
Can I be on the staff?
Yes. Go ahead.
And Teresa.
Mary Bird.
Patty.
I just had a couple of quick questions, hopefully. One of them, you said when you were talking about the mailing list in terms of removing duplicates, you said that would require calling people. And
yes.
I was just wondering why that would require calling people. I don't understand that process.
For example, if we do, there has been, as part of the mailing house graphics part of this, I had them dedupe the mailing list in terms of exact last names, addresses, and first names. But that's not the real problem. People will move. So when they move, they give another donation, now you have Rob Blah and Robbie Blah at two different addresses.
Okay.
When we go through the deduping at KPFA, we did it a couple different times in a couple different ways. Deduping by sorting by address and seeing what the duplicates are. Even there, you have to call people, because if you say, if you look and see R. Ritchie and Robert Ritchie, that could or could not be two different people. You have to call and find out.
Okay. And just one other question, if I may. You said that after, I want to make sure I understand this, that after, you said that WPFW had been playing the cart somewhat, and they had managed to get, I think, one listener candidate, and then you said after you began working with them, if I'm understanding correctly, then they began to, then they now have 18 listener candidates. What I want to know, is that just a matter of increasing the number of times the carts were played, or were there other things that were a part of, that contributed to that result?
The last week before September 25th, which is when people really have to be given information, my understanding is one cart was played in that 7 days. One.
Okay.
If you missed that one, you didn't hear anything from the station. Also, there was nothing on the webpage, so if you went to the webpage, you found out nothing about the elections unless you really, really searched hard.
Teresa.
Is there a webmaster at WPFW?
He's in Brazil.
Is he on vacation?
I have no idea.
Okay. And you said there is, in regard to compliance, there's passive resistance?
Passive resistance means that when the local election supervisors come in, it's been very, very difficult to figure out after they produce the cart. I mean, I can mention Houston because we have a prolific cart producer there. She's now produced 15 carts, and we're going to make a CD of it. Some of them are fairly clever. But getting them played often was hard. Now, there's more compliance there at this point, and there's been more... in Houston, as Tucker has gotten to know folks and has gotten to work with the general manager better, there's been more compliance, and that's been helpful. But it's been very difficult. It's not like, you know, there's a sit-down and a plan, like here's how many times carts will be played, here's how many times forms are. It's really been much, much more difficult than that. I call it a passive boycott because of the different things that are on people's plate, this is way down in terms of the list, maybe at the bottom.
Okay, so I have two other quick questions. You say that the mailing list is a management function, but I think I also heard you say it needed to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And if
the first resolution, by the way, of the Pacific National Board, I believe it was last spring, did have to do with an updated list of both staff and my understanding is of listeners, but that hasn't been done, so now it's been passed on to me. And I understand that. Somebody should do it.
Okay. And you said the candidate statements and the ballots for KPFA, KPFT, and WBAI have been mailed. The proofs for WPFW are at the printing house, so they're about to go out.
They're at the printing house. They haven't been printed yet. They just got there today.
Okay.
I just proofed them.
So my second question is...
Teresa, I'm going to cut you off because we have a very limited time for this. It was expressed that people wanted to act on the motion. So to get to the people who have passed...
Well, this has to do with the motion.
There is no motion before us. Are you going to propose a motion?
I was going to be doing that.
My question is... In his opinion, can these duplicates be removed at this point?
Well, that's why I'm saying I'm hesitating. I want to see. I need to look at the barcode list that I'm given and try to figure out how reasonable this is. I don't know. I can't answer that right now.
All right. Thank you.
Hang on a second. Deb, how much time do we have in the item?
We have until your first warning, let's see, that was 8:17, 9:17. We have about 7 minutes.
We have 7 minutes left before we move to process motions before us. Mary Berg.
Thank you. Yeah,
AC Berg.
I wanted to make a motion here. This was passed by the Elections Committee on October 15th, 8 yes with 1 abstention. And the motion regards the correction of membership lists for duplicates and non-members. This concerns the four stations other than KPFA, where duplicate problems were noted. Whereas the four unaudited station member lists have not been formally audited for recipient or gift donations during...
Excuse me, Mary, your voice is fading.
Pardon me? Oh, okay, let me try.
Better.
Whereas the four unaudited station member lists have not been formally audited for recipient of gift donations included as members, and whereas these four station member lists have not been formally audited for the current election prior to July 31st for duplicate entries as required by the PNB Resolution Number 25, therefore it is resolved that the National Election Supervisor shall take steps to effectively audit these four member lists to, in the words of the PNB, verify member database accuracy in compliance with the bylaws to ensure that the membership rolls meet the requirements of the bylaws, unquote. And it is further resolved that the National Election Supervisor shall consider the results of these audits in determining which ballots to count. And since this is time sensitive, I would like to see that we can come to a vote on this.
Okay. I have a comment about whether it's an order or not, and I looked in the bylaws after this to try and understand who has supervisory authority over the National Election Supervisor, and I can't really find a statement that indicates that the PNB has it or that the executive director has it. So it is an open question whether or not the board has the authority to instruct the National Election Supervisor in this regard. But I'll rule that it is in order, and possibly during the course of debate we can address that.
This is Lydia. Can you put me on the stack?
Is there a second to the motion? Although it's coming from committee, this isn't a committee report. So as I said, I'll ask for a second.
This is Teresa. I'll second it.
Okay. So I have Patty and AC who have requested to speak.
And Lydia.
And Lydia would like to speak now.
Mr. Chair, point of information, I would like to be able at some point to motivate the
You'll get that chance first.
Okay.
But I do want to ask Patty and AC, were your comments, do you want to speak to this motion?
No, I had a question to ask the election supervisor.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to entertain that question first because we'll have time later in the meeting if we need it, but I believe the election supervisor will be leaving. So go ahead with your question.
Yeah, the question is that, as I understand it, that there's only 1 minute allotted for each candidate to speak. Is this... This seems to be a fairly narrow approach on that. I don't know whether you ruled on that before or whether you'd be open to at least allowing for 2 minutes.
No, I wouldn't. This has been the tradition since the beginning of the elections, actually even earlier than that. These are the candidate statements, not the forums. There will be forums at WPFW, but the candidate statements are actually more like 50 seconds. They have to fit into this one-minute category. We've been doing that now for the three national elections, and it's the same policy.
Les, I want to stop it because it's not actually something that's time-sensitive and urgent with respect to this motion. So I think you answered the question. Patty, do you want to speak to this motion?
No.
Okay. Mary, go ahead and motivate the motion.
Yes. Because we do have this problem, I would urge that we pass the resolution as it is without getting into a big discussion as to how it will be implemented because of the nature of the time of the thing. The ballots have really already gone out. So we need to get some procedures in as far as possible going at these four stations. The KPFA's audit determined that there were a lot of duplicates. I would really, and my motivation, I think it's self-explanatory. I can't imagine anyone would not want to get rid of duplicate ballots and all of the, you know, messy lists. So what my motivation consists of is urging people not to talk to the how-tos and the nuts and bolts, but to agree that this, that we as a board do support and want to have this happen. That's what the vote would mean. That's my urgent request.
David, you have still have me on because I'm speaking again.
Yes, Livia.
Okay. Yes, I'm against the motion because even though I would have wholeheartedly favored it before we sent out the ballots with ample time to vet these lists, I think it absolutely will not work. And I'm sorry, Mary, but you have to speak to how this will work or not. And that is, if you have two people, one who receives a ballot at home and one at work, how are you going to determine whether one is invalidated? It could get us into legal trouble. I think it's too late to go down that route, and it's very time-consuming. And Les can't commit to it. I also think that the issues that Dave raised as to the lack of clarity as to whether we have the authority to be giving these finite directives to Les when it was not his responsibility, we should have done this all year, that it's inappropriate. And regardless, if this motion passes, I strongly urge that we send it to council. I think there are issues here both with the interpretation and what happens whether if we institute the how-to and you end up denying someone a ballot because the ballot that they send in is invalidated after they've received two. I can't see how that could work.
Sarf.
That's okay. I think points have been made. I can just make it one short point. Election supervisor, I think he took into consideration all different elements, and he thinks that it is very labor-intensive and it's too late in the game and that he will have a hard time implementing it. And sure, I agree with him that we can pass all the directives we want, but there's no practicality to it, then it just causes nothing but mayhem and confusion. And so on that basis, I'll probably oppose it.
Okay, we're at time. So basically the decision the body needs to make now is whether it would like to postpone further discussion of this until later in the meeting or whether it would like to vote on this right now based on the debate we've had.
Is it possible?
Basically, if there's no motion to postpone further discussion until later in the meeting, then we'll move to process this motion right now. Hearing no further debate, can you restate the motion? And Mary and the secretary will call the roll.
Okay, do you want the whereas is as well?
No, I just want the resolution.
Okay, the two-part resolution is resolved that the National Election Supervisor shall take steps to effectively audit these four member lists to, in the words of the PNB, verify member database accuracy and compliance with the bylaws to ensure that the membership roles meet the requirements of the bylaws, unquote. And it is further resolved that the National Election Supervisor shall consider the results of these audits in determining which ballots to count.
The reason I'm hesitating is in the last piece, I'm really trying to understand whether or not it's the PNB's authority to do that. The language of the bylaws speaks to the sole discretion of the election supervisors with respect to certain aspects of the election. But let's just we'll defer that for now, and we'll ask our counsel for his opinion if the board passes it. So will you call the roll, please, Teresa?
All right. This is Mary Berg's motion. All right. Teresa Allen says yes. Mary Berg?
Yes.
Evelyn Bethune?
Pass.
Lydia Brazon?
No.
A.C. Bird?
Pass.
Lisa Davis?
I'm going to have to pass.
Patty Heffley?
Yes.
Bill Jackson? Bill, can't hear you. Ray LaForest?
No.
Ambrose Lane?
No.
Bob Lederer?
Pass.
Pass.
Alan Minsky. Alan, I can't hear you. Rosalinda Montes Palacios.
Pass.
Sar Rundawa.
Pass.
Rip Robbins.
No.
Rob Robinson.
I abstain.
Deb Shafto.
Yes.
LaVarne Williams.
Pass.
Nathan Moore.
I'll pass.
All right, everybody.
Make your job harder.
Evelyn Bethune.
No.
A.C. Bird.
No.
Lisa Davis.
No.
Phil Jackson. Bill, I don't hear you. Bob Lowe.
No.
Alan Minsky. Alan, I do not hear you. Rosalinda Montes Palacios.
No.
Sar Rundawa.
No.
Hold on a second. To speak during a vote or to make comments, editorial comments during a vote, or sighs or expressions of outrage is a violation of decorum, and I'd like board members to refrain from it if they can do that. Thanks.
LaVarne Williams.
Yes.
Nathan Moore.
Abstain.
Abstain? Okay. One, two, three, four, five. Five yes. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. Ten no. Failed.
Okay. That's time for this item. The next, now we will return for a few more minutes for any other, at the end of the meeting, time permitting, for any other items relevant to this issue.
Thank you. I guess I'm going then.
Thank you very much, Les.
Excuse me, Dave. Before Les
yes.
leaves?
Yes.
Has Les left?
No.
Les?
I think he hightailed it.
I think he did.
Well, I just wanted to ask his if he had a solution to propose on this question.
I think I'll just answer that he clearly is aware of it and I would expect he's going to do whatever he's able within the constraints he's faced with to give us an election which he's able to certify. So
point of information,
yes.
Since this has failed, there's nothing to keep him from still trying to do that, correct?
Of course not.
Point of order, may we move the agenda?
Thank you, you're right. Okay, so the next item on the agenda is the programming policy. Rob, will you please introduce the resolution of the programming committee?
Just a moment, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm sorry. First of all, I would like to acknowledge the members of our programming committee from Berkeley, from KPFA. The members of our committee include Sar Rundawa, Bonnie Simmons, and Attila Nage. From KPFK in Los Angeles, Alan Minsky, Kimberly King, and Sherna Glock have been on the committee. From KPFT in Houston, we've had, Adnan Lakhani, Teresa Allen, and Lisa Welch from WBAI in New York, Lisa Davis, Serene Roberts, and Steve Brown. And in D.C., myself, Joni Eisenberg in Kalonji, Lushigan. We've talked about the policy in detail in the past. What I'd like to try to do is go through an overview of some of the key points of this document. The first thing I'd like to point out is that the revised policy, which is basically an abbreviation of what we discussed in the past, is a work of consensus. All of the members have had input, and with the exception of about three or four sections of the policy, there has been near unanimity on everything that we've discussed. Secondly, I'd like to make the point again that the role of programming is actually how we fulfill the Pacifica mission. So having flexible and objective systems that account for how we use our resources to produce programming that fulfills the mission is something that we think is particularly necessary for policy promulgation. Thirdly, this policy primarily envisions collaborative program approaches to production both at the local station and throughout the network. This does not diminish the individual talents of our producers and on-air hosts, but it simply acknowledges that the more we work together as a network to deal with our programming, the more likely we are to move towards fulfillment of the mission. I would also like to emphasize that the role of the network programming coordinator is, for the most part, to bring together programming needs with ideas, resources, and the people in the network necessary to meet them. This policy does define and discuss some of the relationships between programming that originates from different points within the network, whether that involves local stations or affiliates or network broadcasts or national programs. It also discusses the relationship between different types of programming, such as cultural programming, music programming, as well as news and public affairs. We do present some basic accountability mechanisms here, and this involves the establishment of program goals, which have been in place for some time, evaluations of local station program schedules, both in accordance with the mission and with individual programs and individual programmer self-evaluations. We also envision feedback mechanisms, making feedback mechanisms basically available for our listeners on the websites. And for, excuse me, and we also plan to see that we have a better system for keeping data on the donations that take place within the network. We also discuss the role of listener surveys within Pacifica at the local station level as well as network-wide. One of the key points that I would like to make about what the programming committee is trying to do here is that we are not envisioning that the programming committee is producing and developing programming. What we are trying to do with this policy is to put in place conditions that will support the production of creative and mission-driven programming. That, in fact, is our role, is to assure that resources are allocated throughout the network to fulfill the mission. We do have a section here that discusses how we can try to comply more fully with FCC regulations and compliance. The regulations around obscenity, for example, have been changing recently, and we think it's extremely important that we take the time to provide training to our on-air staff and producers in how they go about doing that. We also would like, I guess the last point I would make is that the primary purpose of the foundation remains educational. And one of the things that we're concerned about is that at all of our stations, we play a key role in focusing on the movements for civil rights, peace, human rights, social justice, and environmental protection that have been a key feature of Pacifica Radio as it developed during the second half of the 20th century. And we would like to make sure that working with the Pacifica Radio Archives, that all of our programming does a better job of recalling to mind to all of our communities what those movements were about. So that's kind of an overview, and I'd like to, at this point, simply open myself to questions from the individual members of the board.
Okay. Yeah. What is before us now is the programming policy that's been put forth by the program committee, and it's actually too extensive to be read in its entirety, unless somebody is going to request that. But that is what's before us now, and the form of the motion is actually a motion to amend something previously adopted. So we previously adopted aspects of the programming policy, and my understanding is that this policy document has a couple of things that alter a couple of the provisions that we had previously adopted, which were sections 8, 12, portions of 1, etc. So what we'll be voting on is the adoption of this as the Pacific programming policy. That's what's on the table, and it's open for debate.
Point of information, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
You had said amend, and I believe, if I understood correctly, that we need to vote to rescind what we passed earlier and substitute this instead. Am I correct?
Because the form of a motion to substitute, a motion to substitute is
basically...
Well, this
means rescind, and then we bring up another one.
Excuse me. A motion to substitute is basically effectively a form of an amendment. And so rather than having to go through that whole process, I'm treating this as a motion to amend by substitution, something previously adopted. It alters those terms, and that way we don't have to go through the extra voting and extra time to do that.
So we don't have to rescind it. Okay.
We are voting this as it is from a parliamentary point of view entirely equivalent to do it as an amendment of something previously adopted. All the requirements for voting and notice and the rest of it are the same.
Great. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
Point of information, as Secretary, if you send me that wording of how you like it, I can get these minutes out tonight as soon as we adjourn.
I will do that right now while the debate goes on.
Because right now we're keeping up.
Right. I'll send this to the PMB. It's open for debate.
I'd like to get on the stack, Mr. Fish.
Go ahead, AC.
Now, the question I have is that I've heard... in many areas of the network, is the role of the coordinator? Do they have the authority to create policy? Is the policy creation still in the hands of the committee and finally the board?
Rob, do you want to respond to that?
Oh, I'm sorry, I had the mute on. it's really the responsibility of the programming committee to have oversight. The program coordinator, the network programming coordinator, is to work on implementing this policy in conjunction with the PNB programming committee. But the network programming coordinator is not responsible for developing programming or program schedules at the local station, you know, or at the network. The point is to create someone who, as I mentioned before, is bringing together the human resources, the technical resources, and the programming needs that have been identified to create a better programming capacity in the network at large. But it is not the intention of this policy to create a programming czar.
Can I get on this back?
Mary Bird also would like to be on.
Yeah, Lisa, go ahead.
This is Lydia. Can you add me?
And Bob.
And I just wanted to just add sort of what you, Rob was saying, because we, as much as we, all of us could who participated on the program committee, I mean, we tried to, I mean, we went through this at some points with a fine-tooth comb and tried to take into consideration, at least I know I did, some of the concerns that, you know, people had, you know, just in general about programming and the implementation. And I know one of the things that just came up repeatedly was the need for collaboration, and even like with the program director, to just make sure that we could have someone that could kind of like be the tie-in, you know, that could work toward, you know, helping to develop collaborative efforts that would involve, you know, a lot of people, the key people at the various stations and programming directors and producers and all of that. So just wanted to just add that in there.
Dave, could you read the stack?
Stack is Mary, Lydia, and Bob. Mary?
Yes. Would it be in order for me to... There are a couple of things, little changes I would like to make to it, and other than that, I would like to endorse it and vote on it. And would it be appropriate for me to say which I'd like to do with these sections? The first one is at the bottom of 1.0, is the attention that it's the reference to Pacifica's race and nationality proposal per policy. We have had a great many of these. I don't know which one is meant. I could not really pass this without having that. Could we postpone that clause, that reference? And also, I think there's a subsequent reference to the programming nationality policy until the next meeting so that we get the text of exactly which policy is meant. I've gone through the bylaws and I find a great many things, and I would really like to know what's meant. So that would be the first of the two changes I would like to say. Take those references out until October 30th. Meanwhile, get us the text of what is meant. And the other thing is at the end, when it's in section 12.
Mary?
Yes?
Mary, we can have one motion on the floor at a time. So you're making as a combined motion?
Yeah.
Two things together?
Yeah. Is that possible?
Go ahead.
Well, the other thing is that the last paragraph of section 12, the role of the National Programming Coordinator. Then there's a paragraph that does not belong there that says that the program committee will review all new proposals. That's not part of the role of the coordinator, and I would like to postpone that also till October 30th, till our next meeting. So I would like to take those two sections and postpone them to October 30th. Those two places that I mentioned.
Okay, so the motion is to divide the question to those two items and that those two items be postponed to our October 30th meeting. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
I have a point of
interest. Hang on. I want to be sure the secretary is clear what sections are being referenced.
Actually,
you okay with that, Teresa?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. No, I did not get that.
Can you clarify it, Mary?
Okay. The first, I could mail it to Teresa also, I think, if I can. Yes, I can do that. In section 1.0, there's a reference that it says, there's a bottom of the paragraph, it's the intention that these programming conform to Pacifica's race and nationality policy. I'm wanting to take out that section that refers to that and postpone it till October 30th until we can get the text of that policy sent to us.
Mary,
as we, yes?
Could you reference this by numbers in the document?
Yes, it's the last of the three paragraphs in 1.0, and there is one further reference in the third paragraph of 1.1.
Mary, you need to just
but
say...
I will confine this to the 1.0. What do you mean, reference to the documents? You mean other than that way?
No, just send it to the board, Mary. Send it to the board what you're talking about.
Section 1.0 at the bottom of paragraph 3, I think you said?
I want to remove paragraph 3 and postpone paragraph 3 until October 30th, where it reads, it is the intention that programming conform to the race and nationality policy.
The entire paragraph through.
Yes, that was three lines. Yes.
The entire
one
paragraph.
Sentence.
I will email
one
it
sentence.
Right away.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is the third paragraph,
and that is sentence. That is not the whole of your motion. Your motion includes another.
Yes.
Section.
And the other part I want to defer to postpone till October 12th is the very last paragraph in the whole thing.
Okay, so to divide the two paragraphs, and I'll ask the secretary to read them, and to defer them to our October 30th meeting. Is there a second? Hearing no second, it dies for lack of a second.
Second that.
Okay, the next person on the stack is Lydia.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I almost seconded it, actually. But anyway, I think that we have had 9 months to deliberate over this. I know we've had discussions at KPFK at the local station board. I certainly hope everyone else has. On the other hand, we can't wait until everybody does, even before this year started. I know that Rob had been circulating the document, so everybody, and I know here we've had meetings, there have been meetings with the programmers and so on and so forth. So I think it has really, really been thoroughly vetted. And vetting. Of course, you can always find things like Mary just raised, and I think I would have voted for it. But anyway, but nevertheless, I wholeheartedly urge all of us to realize the importance of passing a programming policy. We are, after all, a network, and it would be wonderful if we were to move on with something really productive instead of just some of the issues that we always get bogged down with, and come out of this year that this board would have produced something. And a special thanks to Rob for having initiated the work into it and the boilerplate that ended up being the point of conversation throughout the network, which was so vital. So I urge all of us to pass this.
Bob.
Okay, well, I would echo what Lydia said about the importance of this policy and all the hard work that the committee has put into it. I support it. I just want to raise two issues concerning it, and Dave, let me know if these are okay to raise at this point. One is not a motion, but just a request to the chair, to Rob. You referenced, the committee references in item 10.0, compliance with federal laws and regulations, that there's an appendix 2 concerning the SEC, and that wasn't present in the copy that you sent to the board, and so I think
thank
board,
you for pointing that out, Bob. It did get excised. Thank you.
Right. So yeah. I think the board really should see that before we just assume that.
Alan.
Assume that it's okay. So. Could that be just voluntarily deferred to the October 30th meeting so we can all see the copy?
Could what be deferred?
Yeah.
The appendix.
Point
two.
Of information, this is Lavore.
I can't hear what Bob is saying.
Hold on,
Bob,
a second.
Bob, we can't hear you very well,
point,
Bob.
Lavarne, the point, can yes. you wait on the point of information until after Bob finishes? Go ahead, Bob.
No, I was finished. I just asked Rob if he would have any problem with just waiting to vote on Appendix 2 until the next meeting so we can see the text of Appendix 2.
Why don't we just take that out? That was a resolution that we brought before the board almost 2 years ago, and it basically talks about how to go about implementing that in more detail. It might be easier if we just took that section out and dealt with that subsequently under the aegis of the language that is in 10.0.
That's fine.
Okay?
Okay, well, I'll hang on a sec. I want to take the point of information.
Oh,
Go ahead, Lavarne.
I was just going to. Actually, it's not relevant, Nia. It was just a question on the date, but that's fine. The 30th
okay.
of October.
Mr. Chair.
All right. So, Bob, hang on a sec. Yeah, I want to get to this secretary. What are we agreeing to do so the secretary has it down?
Rob, could you repeat what
sure.
you said?
In section 10.0, there is a parenthetical clause in the first sentence which reads, paren, the FCC, see resolution contained in Appendix 2. Appendix 2 is not present in the document, and it basically deals with some specifics, some guidelines presumed under once you do what's in 10.0. So what I'm saying is if we just take that language out and go forward with what's in 10.0, if we want to bring another resolution to make guidelines that more specific about that, the programming committee can do that subsequently.
Okay, so what we're
so
proposing
Chair,
is,
so
with hang on a sec, without objection to excise what, Rob?
In section 10.0, in sentence 1, the parenthetical language that reads, the FCC, semicolon, see resolution contained in Appendix 2.
Okay, so Teresa, you have that? The motion is to remove that.
So Bob Litter moved that section 10.0, sentence 1, remove any reference to Appendix 2.
That's
that correct?
Actually, Rob
okay.
moved it.
Yes, Bob?
Okay. Rob moved it, we'll say.
Okay.
So is there any objection to doing that? Okay, hearing none, adopted. Going on.
May I make my
Bob,
second
you
point?
You said you had another point? Yes.
Yeah, this is actually an amendment. May I offer it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In Section 1.2, National Programming, I move to add the identical language that's in 1.4, which reads as follows. Such programming will be planned in consultation with local stations.
Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second it.
Okay. Can you read the entire section, Bob, so that the board can, everybody can be clear?
All right. The amendment that Bob's proposing would refer to section 1.2, national programming, and it would read as follows. National programming involves the use of network-wide resources and enhanced production to address national issues and trends. As a result, national programs feature voices in production rarely encountered in local programming and in mainstream media.